I think that gives them a misconception. I mean, maybe it gives them a lower. Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that was me. I thought that was just an oversight.
No.
Okay, so we're missing a lot of people today. I think there's an accident on I-35, so it's tough getting in here, maybe. I saw that on the news. They did in Austin this morning that the Old Settlers is shut down or whatever. So maybe they're coming from that direction. But we're going to go and get started. So we're going to be doing 2.5 and 2.6 in just a minute. So this is the next thing. It has 5 pages, but it's lots of diagrams. That's why there's so many pages. The homework looks like this. It's 2 pages. So I'm going to check 2.5, 2.6. So every day when I teach, I just grab them both. I grab the class notes out of my binder, and I grab like the homework just so I can show you all, because I don't carry everything with me all the time. So that's kind of what we're working on today. But before we get to that, I want to review something from yesterday. So say you had this problem. This is pretty sort of advanced solving for a letter. There's a lot going on in this problem right here. But this problem is quite similar to one of the ones that was in your practice problems and the very first one that you turned in for like the written homework. Similar in that it takes 3 steps to solve for the letter, and then you must do the steps in the right order. And so you practiced a few of those. So it's currently solved for Z, and I want it solved for X. So thoughts about what we would do first. So when I glance on the side with the X, I see a 1/3, I see a W, and I see a Y squared. We will need to systematically undo all 3 of those, but the order that you do them is sort of important. So how do you even get 1 point on this problem if it was on the exam? What's the first step that I would need to see to get something right? That would be one option, but I'm going to hold off on that option. I'm going to subtract the y squared. I'm going to get rid of whatever's being added or subtracted first. So in other words, I'm going to subtract y squared from both sides. So now I have z minus y squared equals 1/3 xw. All right, so 3 things to do. We've now done 1 of them. So at least we have it looking a little bit better. With the X, there is a 1/3, and there is still a W. So which one would you get rid of next?
We do
the 1/3.
The 1/3.
Oh, you could, but we're going to do them separately. I'm going to get rid of the 1/3 by multiplying by 3 over 1, both sides. Here's where it gets a little tricky, and we didn't quite have an example like this in our homework, or in our class thing. Do you see on this left-hand side, there's more than one part? There's like 2 things sitting over there. So when you multiply this side by the 3 over 1, you must insert parentheses around that quantity on the left. And the 3 sits out front like that now. That 3 needs to be multiplied by both the z and that y squared. So if you don't put the parentheses, only the z would get it, and it would look like 3z, like minus y squared. So that's the correct approach right there. So now I have 3 times z minus y squared equals xw. So I've done 2 of the 3 things, so now it's easy to get rid of the w to divide by w. So divide by W. And so you think you're right, and you go look up your answer in the Meritech answer file, and they don't have this answer. They have an equivalent answer. They have the following answer. They decided to simplify this numerator by distributing the 3. So if you distribute that 3, you would have 3z minus 3y squared all over w equals x. I told you yesterday that solving for a letter is a little tricky sometimes for students because there's more than one correct version of the final answer. They are both correct. We would totally accept both of them. And which one's more simplified, and it just depends on what you're doing with it. So sometimes we like it like this, and sometimes we like it like this. So they're both equivalent, and he's going to mark them both correct. as you're doing your homework, number one today. But what's not equivalent is this one, 3z minus y squared all over w equals x. The one where you forgot to put parentheses around that, so only the 3 got to the z, but not with the y squared. Because if you were to plug in numbers for those letters, you would get a completely different answer because it's not equivalent. If you were to plug in numbers for these letters, you'd get the same answer. They're both different because they're mathematically equivalent to each other. But this one missing the 3 is not. It's tricky. It's something to be aware of. So going from not knowing how to solve for a letter pretty much at all yesterday, where it only took one step, to get to sort of 3 steps is a little bit of a rush. We gave like 24 hours to get there. So I want to talk about that one. Any questions on that? Okay. So we have one more section to do before you have your first test. So just highlighting how the rest of the week is going to go. We're going to do, well, it's actually like two sections, 2.5, 2.6 is all today. So all this inequality stuff we can do today. Tomorrow when you come in, you're going to turn this homework to Dave, you're going to get in your groups again, and you're going to take another group quiz. This quiz covers everything we did last week, but not as many problems. So like I gave you 4 order of operations last week, now this one only has a 2. I gave you 8 solving equations, there's maybe 3 or whatever. So there's much less of last week's stuff and a little bit more of yesterday and today's stuff. So there might be 5 from this section and 5 from like yesterday's section, so that you get to practice some more of those. So you're going to come take that group quiz. So I think I have it set right now, it's just 20 problems. So instead of 25, it's 20. You have an hour 20 to do it. If you show up early, we'll let you start working early because it's not meant to be time per se. So people come in at 8:30 or whatever, you can just start working on it. When you're done and leave, I'm going to give you the key. That way you have that key to study. Like, you'll have a key to study. So you have your first test starting the next day, like Thursday. So the test is divided into 2 sections, Part A and Part B, okay? Part A will cover the first 3 sections we did last week's material. And Part B on Friday will cover this week's material. So you sort of have an extra day on these 2 sections. It's not like the test is interspersed and there's something from the first day, then the 5th day, then the 4th day, then the 3rd, and then back at first day. To make it easier for you to study, especially for test number 1, I'm keeping it sort of in the order that you learned it. Which is nice when you're just starting. There's no big surprises. It's probably going to be about 20 questions per exam, or 20 and 15 or something like that per day. So you'll have all those quizzes. Also, I'll show you the course has its own great big review. It's a file on Blackboard right now. You probably haven't visited it yet. But if you want additional problems to practice, I'll show you how to find those tomorrow. So, or at the end of the day if we have it. We have that file. Can you double check and make sure? I think in course documents you have it there. Yes. At the very bottom. The great big file and exam review.
It's there.
Yeah. Can you look at what problems would be applicable through today? Like 1 through 23 or 1 through 30, which ones apply to what we've done so far? Okay, so any questions about how that's going to work? Excellent. All right, so today we are talking about inequalities. So, we're mostly going to use these notes today. And there are 4 basic inequality symbols. Less than or equal to, greater than or equal to. So you have to be able to read them properly when you're, like, if you're telling someone what to write down. The less than symbol looks like an L when you open it up. So less starts with L. So when you open it up, it looks like an L. That's how you read less than as opposed to greater than. So less than and less than are equal to are these 2. Greater than are equal to are those 2. So 4 total inequality symbols we're going to work on today. We're going to do a lot of stuff with the number line. So here's just a typical number line with 0 in the middle. All the negative integers are on the left. Positive integers are tick mark on the right. Smaller things on the left, bigger things on the right on a number line. Okay? So we have stuff called a strict inequality that doesn't have the line.
inclusive inequalities has a line, meaning it includes that value. So numbers less than 5 are anybody to the left of the number 5. There's a lot of integers labeled, but don't forget there's all the stuff in between. There's all the fractions and decimals. Every single one of those is less than 5. If you throw in the equal to line, it means it also includes the cutoff value, the number 5. So, just we're not going to test each other's words, but we have to make sure that you understand that you have to be aware when you're doing inequalities that you look at if the line's there or not. Because if the line's there or not, it affects everything that you do beyond that, about symbols and stuff. So, we're going to graph a few things on the number line. And so, before we do that one, if we're going to, well, we'll go through. I'm just going to use, okay, so there's two schools of thought. There's the closed dot, open dot people, and there's the parentheses, the bracket people. There's two parallel notation-wise that we've come across, sort of, in our system. How many people like the open dot, closed dot? How many people are familiar with the bracket and the parentheses to indicate the open and closed dot? We're going to try to use the bracket parentheses because it will help us as we're going on and what we're doing in a couple minutes as far as notation goes. So if you want to graph x is less than or equal to 5, you're going to go to 5. Does it include 5 or not include 5? It does not include 5. So that's going to be a parenthesis like this. So there's a parenthesis sitting there at 5. And everybody less than 5 shades to the left. So we're trying to indicate that there's an entire region of the number line that makes this thing true. So it depends on how creative and graphically you want to do it. We're trying to be simplistic. So if I was up here graphing something with chalk, and I wanted to graph x is less than 5, I don't want to make a lot of chalk fest and like graph this repeatedly like this, and like, this is the correct answer, and this is what it will look like in the book. They'll have a big black bold line so that you see that they're indicating all these values right here make that inequality true. If I was on a dry erase board, and I was dry erase board, I would use up quite a bit of marker making all my number lines like that. So sometimes you come up with a little bit, like what's the most minimum thing we can write that's okay that we know what you're indicating. And oftentimes it might look like this. Just a line that looks like this so we know what you're stating. Are you okay with that? Like just... We know from looking that you mean all the people to the left. You could certainly make it big and bold if you want to and take 30 seconds per problem and make a nice solid line. But we're just trying to get the quick and dirty answer that indicates what region we're talking about. So if you want to do your stating with just a number line pointing to the left on top of the one that's there, clearly if you're in pen a different color than the paper, I'll see like, oh, the red's going to the left, so I know what you're talking about. But you're not going to see me today doing a lot of shading big and bold like that. So if I was going to do this, I would just shade like that and go like it's all these guys to the left of the number 5. And that's sufficient. That arrowhead means it's going on forever. So all of these guys are true. Every single person under the shaded banner makes the inequality true. So is 0 less than 5? Yes, it is. Is 3 less than 5? Yes, it is. Is negative 5 less than 5? Yes, it is. Because everybody to the left makes the inequality true. Everybody to the right makes the inequality false. So we don't shade them because 8 is not less than 5. So these guys are the true, the solutions. And these guys are false, not the solutions. We are always striving to shade the true. That's you're showing on a number line. So visually, what are all the numbers that make it true? Inequalities, everything we're doing today, has entire ranges of the number line that make it true, not just one value. So when you were solving equations, x equals 5, there was one number that made it true. But inequalities have entire chunks of the number line that make it true. Okay, so x is greater than or equal to negative 2. So now we've got the equal to line. And negative 2 is right here. So you indicate that with a bracket. So bracket means it includes the value negative 2. Parenthesis means it does not include. This is equivalent to having an open dot. This is equivalent to having a closed dot, if you like the dot system. But I'm going to do it with this. Okay, where are all the numbers located that are greater than or equal to negative 2? To the right of negative 2 or to the left of negative 2? to the right. So you're going to shade to the right. Like that. And you have now graphed your second inequality. So all of these are true. And all of these would be the false numbers. If you plug them back in for X, it wouldn't be true. So if I was to take this number 8, which we're saying is in the solution set, and plug it in right here, 8 is greater than or equal to negative 2. It's true. That way we know we're on the right side. Negative 2 is the cutoff value. So if you plug in negative 2 right here, negative 2 is greater than or equal to negative 2. That is also true because it's equal to itself. So because it's got the line, that's the version of the bracket part. That means it's also true. Everybody okay so far? Okay, make a little note right here. If the variable is on the left. So do you see how in this inequality the variable is on the left? And in this inequality the variable is on the left? Then the arrow points the way you shade. So this arrow is pointing that way, that way you know to shade that way. This arrow is pointing that way you know to shade that way. So you have to think sometimes when it's a weird cutoff value, like, wait, which way am I shading? If the variable is on the left, the arrow points the way you shade. So we'll make note of that sometimes if you don't want to think as much. See how the arrow is pointing that way and the shading goes that way. And this arrow is pointing that way and the shading is going that way. That helps you out quite a bit. All right, so we also have something called a compound inequality. This guy right here is a compound inequality. Just like we have compound words, we have compound inequalities because there's two inequality symbols in the same like little sentence right there. And so just naturally, if you did things correctly, the smaller numbers on the left and the bigger numbers on the right, the number line goes from smallest to biggest. So this is saying I am a number that's simultaneously bigger than negative 4 and less than or equal to 8. So there are certain numbers that make that true, that satisfy both those at the same time. And so it looks like this. This guy on the left is your left cutoff. Should he be a parenthesis or should he be a bracket? Parenthesis because it doesn't have the line. And that parenthesis is going to go in that direction because the numbers are in between. What about at 8, the right cutoff? Bracket or parenthesis? Bracket. And that bracket's going to go like this. And you're going to shade all the numbers in between. Like that. So these are all the numbers that are both greater than negative 4 and less than 8. I've got them shaded so you can see them. There's too many to count. There's infinitely many numbers in there. So that's why we kind of have this idea of the picture. So compound inequalities like this make a line segment. Kind of called a line segment right here. It's got an endpoint on the left. It's got an endpoint on the right. So it's a line segment. These single inequalities right here make what we call a ray. From geometry, if you took geometry before, rays have a set endpoint, but they go forever in one direction, like the sun rays that come down. So this graph could be a ray. This graph could be a ray. That graph could be a line segment because it's got a left and it's got a ray cut off. Okay, so just knowing how to take an inequality and give the picture is the first idea or the first part of this lesson. Are there any questions so far? Okay, so now you're going to do the inverse. You're going to do the opposite. I'm going to give you the picture and ask you what inequality over here is from that picture. So imagine looking at it sort of this way. I'm like, ooh, how would I write this back like that? How would I write this back like that? So if you turn the page over, you'll see something's graphed. Oh, they have to write the interval notation. Okay, so We're not going to do what I just said. We're going to do something different. We will do what I said in a second, but we're going to do something different.
Okay, so there's going to be, in these inequalities, three different forms of the answer. Okay? So it looks like this. X is less than 5, for instance. Then you work out an inequality, you get X is less than 5. That's one form of the answer. If I ask you for the graph, you would draw yourself a number line, okay? And you're going to be doing this for homework tonight. So say you were asked to graph this. I don't want you to spend a ton of time making a very nice, neat number line that goes from like negative 5 to 10, or negative 10 to 10 or whatever. All you need to do is put the cutoff value right there. I usually put it in the middle, 5. Parenthesis your bracket. Parenthesis. Variable on the left or shade to the left. There, you've done it. You've got it. So cutoff value, correct shading is perfect. Don't spend a lot of time doing all the number line like this, although they did, just because it was easy to just copy and paste that number line down. But as you're doing 15 of them, you don't want to be ticking beautiful number lines when just the cutoff value and the direction of the shading is sufficient. Okay, so that's called the graph. But there's a third version of the answer called interval notation that you may or may not have encountered in your life before. And so we're going to talk about what that is and why ultimately it's going to be your favorite form of answers. Most of the time in this class, when we give answers that are ranges of numbers, we give it in interval notation. We don't want to be drawing graphs for everything. And this is just the nicest, neatest, most efficient way to give an answer. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, here's four different versions of what we call interval notation. So notice your intervals are either going to start and end with brackets, start or end with parentheses, or the mismatch of the each, depending on what the cutoffs are. So looking at this number line, we're trying to represent all the numbers in between negative 5 and 2. Agreed? So the number line starts with a parenthesis, so you start with a parenthesis. The number underneath the parenthesis is negative 5. Then you put a comma. What's the rightmost number that's indicated underneath that bracket? 2. And then you put a bracket like that. And you have now written your first interval notation to represent that exact graph right there. You may have never seen it before, so you're not, like, it kind of looks like a point, but what's the weird brackets? But it's interval notation. It means all the numbers in between negative 5 and 2, excluding negative 5, but including 2. Okay. So let's take a look at this one. Okay, it starts with a parenthesis. The cutoff value is negative 2. So negative 2. Comma. But do you see that we have a red? So we have an arrowhead that's shaded to the right forever, never, never, right? So we technically don't have like a right cutoff value. So what lives out there to the right? Infinity. Positive infinity. So positive infinity is a symbol. Looks like this. It's like a sideways 8. So positive infinity is out there on the right. So you put positive infinity right here. And infinity 100% of the time gets a parenthesis because it's not an actual number, it's a concept. So this is saying all the numbers between negative 2 and infinity are part of the solutions. And that's what the graph of it looks like. It's all those numbers right there. And you sort of did your next one. So if positive infinity is on the right, what's on the left? Negative infinity. So negative infinity is represented by a negative sign in front of the infinity symbol, like that, negative infinity. So interval notation always goes from left to right. So as you're glancing at your number line, it's left to right. So what's the first thing that you encounter from left to right? Negative infinity. So parenthesis, negative infinity, comma. Now what? What's our rightmost cutoff value? 4. And do they have it indicated with a bracket or parenthesis? Does it include 4 or not? It does include 4, and that's why it gets a bracket like that. So you just represented this solution set in what we call interval notation, which is what dominates the next 14 weeks of class. The notation that we prefer, that you're generally asked, is interval notation. Now,
this week you got to show all three. I'm going to ask you for the graph. I'm going to ask you for interval notation, just to make sure you understand what's going on. Okay, see if you can do this one. That was a pretty easy one, hopefully. Always goes left to right, so that your smaller number is always going to be on the left and your bigger number is going to be on the right. So did you put bracket? Negative 4, comma, 3, parentheses. If you get familiar with using the brackets and the parentheses on your number line, then interval notation is quite easy. If I use solid dots and open dots, then I'd have to kind of teach you the symbols again. So that's why I'm just sticking with this. Okay, now we got this kind of weird one. So we don't have a line segment. We don't have array. We really have two rays heading out like that. We sort of array on the left heading out that way to indicate all those numbers. Then we have a gap. And then we have an array heading out to the right to indicate all those numbers. This is the one that's going to be the weirdest one. And it's got a pretty set notation that we're going to follow and start from left to right. So really the first thing we're going to do is it's this ray. So how would you represent that ray on the left in interval notation? So what am I going to start with? Parentheses? Infinity is over here. Negative infinity. So negative infinity is the one on the left. So negative infinity, comma, negative 2, parentheses, right? So that describes that ray right there. He's done. Leave a little gap for the moment. Leave a gap right here. And just describe this ray. So now we got to describe the ray on the right. So it starts at 2 with a bracket. And it heads out to positive infinity. And infinity always gets a parenthesis, and we're going to mark you wrong every time. You're going to lose a half point if you put a bracket around your infinities. They're always parentheses. So we have a symbol that we're going to put in between that says to merge them together that indicates the word or, and it's called the union symbol. And the union symbol is a big U, like that. And this looks like a big U. Stands for union, stands for the word or in math. So it's this set over here or this set right here. So that's the one that looks kind of long. But if you study just this one example right here, you can see what it represents. The interval notation right here is the left ray. Then there's a gap in space, so we don't have anybody written for the moment. Then we have the right ray, but the actual solution is either or. So we merge it together with this symbol right here indicating the word or. Union. We said union for you. How do you feel about that so far? Is anybody this brand new? Has anybody never seen interval notation before? Just go ahead and raise your hand just so I know. Everybody's seen it at some point in their life. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it isn't common. All right. On to number 3. So, number 3, so we're trying to get fluid between the 3 different versions of the answer. So if I give you one version, you should be able to get the other 2 off of it. In this version, you were given the interval notation. So from the interval notation, can you graph it? So just get that part done. So how do you read that? It's bracket negative 3 comma infinity. That's how you would read that interval. So let's test you and see if you can get the accurate graph of that. This is probably the easiest one of all because you have the interval. You know which way the brackets go even because it models that right there. So there should be a bracket at negative 3. It's heading out to infinity, so it's just a solid arrow like that. Is that what you did? Something like that? So negative 3 is your cutoff value on the left. It gets a bracket, and infinity is out to the right, so that should be what you got right there. Okay, so now getting the inequality. So start with your variable, x. Inequality has the x in it. So x. Which way is the arrow going to go? The same way as the shading goes.
Is it greater than or greater than or equal to? It's got the line. So greater than or equal to. And your cutoff value is negative 3. So the inequality over here is always going to start with x. That's the trickier one for a lot of people. But we'll do some more. It's only your first one. So if I gave you this one, could you get those two off of it? If I gave you this one, could you get these two off of it? They all represent the same solution set. The question is, can you get fluid between the three versions of the answer? One of them is just the inequality that's got the x in it with the inequality symbol. One is the graph, so it's the visual representation. And one is the interval notation of what the answers are. Okay, so looking at this one. From negative infinity to zero is the solution set. So negative infinity is out here, and it goes all the way to zero. So at zero, I want to put a bracket like that, or a break, like a parenthesis like that. Negative infinity is out here, so which way should I shade? To the left. That's a negative infinity. And so that's your solution for that one. That's the picture of all the numbers that make it true. Everybody up for that? Now your inequality is going to start with x. Which way is your shading going? Left, so less than. Is it less than or less than or equal to?
Just
less than. And what was your cutoff value? 0. You did it. Example number 2, going from one to the other two versions of it. Okay? We've got to learn all this stuff. We haven't even learned how to solve inequalities. That's the last half of today. We're learning how to give the answer once you have the basic cutoff. This is like a basic inequality, meaning you have the x on the left, you have the symbol, and you have the cutoff value. There's going to be more on top of that. 2x plus 7 is less than 15, solve it. So there's going to be more solvey stuff in a couple of minutes. But right now, we're just giving you sort of the cutoff and seeing if you can get the graph and the interval notation from that, because that's a really good place to start. Okay, so we're going to continue to do this, because every time we solve an inequality today, we're going to give the answer in all three versions, just to get practice of it. Normally, do you give all three? No. When you're first learning, should you give all three? Yes, because it's good practice. So go off to a different piece of paper. We'll do these problems in a little bit. The bulk of the lecture, so we're just going to go do some problems now. All right, so here's your first inequality. We're going to start really basic and work our way more complicated. You have all the skills to solve these already from what we learned last week, except for one little caveat that we'll talk about when we get to that issue, but we're not going to get there immediately. So say you had this. 2x is less than 10. Solve the following inequality. Give your answer all three ways. So clearly, we need to get the x by itself. Treat the inequality symbol exactly like you would do an equal to sign. You can add, subtract, multiply, divide, whatever you want, as long as you do it to both sides. So what would we do? I'm going to make that 100 just to make it more interesting. We would divide by 2, right? So divide by 2, divide by 2. So you get x is less than 50. Okay? There's the inequality. If I asked you to graph it, draw yourself a little number line underneath it. Like that. Put the cutoff value of 50 right in the middle, like that. Now how are you going to shade it? You're going to use brackets or parentheses, and which way do they go? And, you know, it's a parenthesis. Does the parenthesis open like to the left, or does it open to the right? To the left, because you're shading to the left. So all the numbers less than 50 are to the left of 50. So your answer should look like this. Something like that. If you're just giving a sketch. Is that enough for you to see what I'm trying to indicate? Like, do I have enough of a line that you can see? And I have the right, like, yeah, that's perfectly fine. And then from there, we're going to give the interval notation from that. So interval notation going from left to right. So what's it going to start with? What's the symbol? Parenthesis. And then negative infinity. And then a comma.
and then a 50, and then a close parenthesis, and you did it. You sort of did your first one. All right, let's take a look at this one. Second example. 3x plus 1 is greater than or equal to 12. Solve the following inequality. Give your answer in all three versions. The inequality, the graph, and the interval notation. Should take two steps, right? How do you solve it first? What do you do? So step one. So you have 3x is greater than or equal to 11. Right? Then you go and divide by 3. And 3 does not go into 11, right? It doesn't go in evenly into 11. So our cutoff value for the first time today is going to be a fraction. That is totally fine. We are totally cool with the cutoff value being a fraction. So x is greater than or equal to 11/3. Okay, so leave it in that fraction format. It's reduced all the way. There's nothing more I can do. So now we're going to go to the number line. And guess what your cutoff value is going to be? 11/3. Just like that. Is it a bracket kind of problem or a parenthesis? Bracket. Why? Because it's got the line. And which way are you going to shade? To the right, because the arrow is pointing to the right. So, bracket. Make sure that we clearly know if you're indicating a bracket or parentheses. Don't do some weird hybrid of the two. And then it should look something like that. Right? And then go ahead and give the interval notation for that. So it should be bracket 11/3, comma, what's out there? Positive infinity, yeah, infinity, parentheses. You did it. Teaching you the first stuff was just to get you to be able to do a problem like this, where you actually have to solve it. We're not going to give you one with it. Like, 2x is greater than 3. Like, you have to solve down to get to that cutoff value. Remember, all of these guys are true if I plug them up in the original, and all of these guys are false if I plug them up in the original, and you figured out the cutoff value that separates the true from the false. That's sort of your goal. Okay with that one so far? So, do you see the more complicated I make this original one right here, the more steps it takes? The first one took one step, because all you had to do was divide. This was your typical two-step equation, because you had to subtract and then divide. So depending on what you're given is how complicated the problem's going to end up being. So I want to take a look at this problem real quick. So now we got to get to, okay, well, it seems pretty basic. Well, here's the big old exception about inequalities. So special note about this. And maybe you remember, maybe you don't. Negative 4, x is greater than or equal to 20. So what is the one thing you have to be aware of when you're solving inequalities that you remember? When you divide by a negative, what do? You flip the sign. So when you divide or multiply an inequality by a negative number, not add or subtract, when you divide or multiply, and it's going to be in your notes, it's going to be stated in your notes in just a minute, you must flip the direction of the inequality. So right at this point right here, when I'm dividing both sides by negative 4, I must flip the inequality. So instead of greater than or equal to, it's now going to be less than or equal to, like that. And then you proceed with the problem. So x is less than or equal to 20 divided by negative 4 is negative 5. Okay. And if you were to graph that on a number line, x is less than or equal to negative 5. It's going to be a bracket. We're going to be shading to the left, so the bracket's going to open to the left. And you would have something that looks like this. X is less than or equal to negative 5. Remember, these are all the trues. We're shading the trues, and these are the ones that make it false. All the numbers that wouldn't satisfy if we plugged them in. In interval notation from left to right, it goes negative infinity, comma, negative 5, brackets. So guess what happens if you forget to flip the sign? Are you going to turn in all the truths as your answer, or are you going to turn in all the falses as your answer? You'd be turning in the falses, and that's a pretty bad violation when you're trying to solve something to turn it. We want to know who makes it true, not who makes it false. So that's the only real red flag about inequalities that you need to remember about, is when you multiply or divide by a negative number, you need to flip the sign. So we're going to practice that again in just a minute, because I think almost everyone they gave you had that involved in it, just to practice the negative part and the flipping. But in reality, if you had 10 problems, it might only come up like 3 out of 10 or 4 out of 10. It's not like it comes up every single one, but it is enough to be aware about it. So before we get to that last one, I want to do this one. 20 is greater than 3x minus 1. So. So you're solving for x, right? So the x happens to appear on the right-hand side for the first time today. I put the x on the right-hand side. So when we add 1, we get 21 is greater than 3x. And we didn't do any negative business, so there's no flipping at the moment. Trying to get that x by itself, what would you do? Divide by 3. 3 is not negative, so we're not doing any flipping. But you end up sort of with that inequality, like that. And it's the first time today where the variable's on the right side instead of the left-hand side, right? Because everything I've given you today kind of, it's either been in the middle, two numbers, or it's been on the right-hand side. And so our mentality of having it on the right-hand side, and therefore then the arrow points the way you shade, and then this graph is correct, so this graph is correct, sort of gets a little muddled when it's written like this. But you are allowed to swirl this around so that the x is on the left. So watch what I'm going to do. I'm not flipping the inequality. I'm twirling the whole thing around. So this says 7 is greater than x. I want it to read x is less than 7. So look at the mouth of the inequality. It's still eating the 7, right? It's eating the 7 there. It's eating the 7 there. So I didn't change it. I just twirled it around. Because that's the way I taught you to do it that way. So now the arrow is going to point the way you shade, and now it makes a little bit more sense. So x is less than 7 on a number line would be, let's see, 7 is the cutoff value, parenthesis, opening to the left, because less than shades to the left, like this. And so this is what your graph would look like. And I just found for a lot of developmental students just coming in, it's hard for them to graph it that way. 7 is greater than x. Like somehow x is less than 7 seems a lot more normal that that's everybody to the left. And it seems easier. So anytime this happens, I'm just going to rewrite the inequality with its equivalent inequality over here so that I can keep track of which way I'm shading and what it looks like. So then you would get from negative infinity to 7 with a parenthesis, and that's what your interval looks like. So those two things might come up in what we're going to do in our course notes now, where we might have to flip some stuff or see what's going on. So go back to page 3. All right, so let's try number 4. So it says solve and graph and give interval notation. So exactly what we're trying to be doing. So we're taking a look at this one right here. So what's the first thing you're going to do? Distribute to 8. So you get 8. 8 times negative x is minus 8x is greater than 72. Is this equivalent to where we started? Did you distribute properly? Yes. So it's still equivalent. All right, so we have to keep solving it. So now what? What's the next step? Minus 8, subtract 8 from both sides. So you always get rid of adding or subtracting first. So subtract 8, subtract 8. I see Keckler's coming up and out. That's good if you're following along with me. That way when you go on to do it on your own, you've got some good... All right, so this is where mistakes are going to start to happen.
If you forget to bring down the negative sign along with that 8x, it's going to be wrong. So don't forget to bring that down. So negative 8x
is greater than 64. All right, so now to solve it, we're going to divide by negative 8. This is where the bell should go off, because at this point, we are dividing by a negative number. So when you divide by a negative number, you must flip the direction of the inequality symbol, and that's me doing it right there.
I sort of train myself to do it before I even get to the left and the right side. The negative, the lines go down, the negative go down, I flip the sign. And then I start working on the rest of it. So that I don't forget to do it, I do it first.
So you get x is less than negative 8.
Perfect. I also tend to go inequality, graph, then interval, because that way you can see it. So I'm going to do that for you guys.
So x is less than negative 8 means the cutoff is negative 8. What are you going to do? Parenthesis in which direction? Yeah, left. And then shade that way. And all is good. So those are all the trues right there. Interrelation goes from left to right. So it starts with parenthesis negative infinity, comma negative 8. Close parenthesis, and you did your first inequality. That's what your quiz is going to look like tomorrow. Solve, give you two versions of the answer. Solve, give the two versions of the answer. Okay with that? So, okay, on to the next one. All right, we got that fraction. One fraction sitting in front of the variable p.
We learned a pretty cool shortcut to get rid of that 3 halves. What is it? Multiply by 2/3.
So we've only got a single term on the left and a single term on the right, so I think multiplying by 2/3 is going to be the quickest way to get you that direct answer.
Did we do anything with a negative? Do we have to flip? No, no flipping.
What is 2/3 times 3/2? What comes down? On this left-hand side, what do you bring down?
Just the p.
Just the p. It's 6 over 6, which is 1, but we don't need to write it in. So the real challenge is getting negative 15/8 times 2/3 done correctly. So you can either key that in your calculator, or I'm going to do it like longhand. So when you multiply fractions together, you can simplify before you do that. So 3 goes into 3 once, and 3 goes into 15 5 times, and 2 goes into 2 once, and 2 goes into 8 4 times. So diagonals can cancel if you want to.
If you multiply the top two numbers by 8 and you do all your math correctly, you will get the same answer, just a little bit more work to it, but that works also. Remember, the higher up you go, there's more than one correct way to do the answer. I'm just kind of showing you the simplest one.
So 5 times 1 is 5, and 4 times 1 is 4, and it's negative, so I got negative 5/4. Did you get negative 5/4 ultimately when you were solving it? Dave?
I would mention that the answer has to be in fractional form.
Yeah, we're leaving it at that fraction right there. The problem's in fractions, we're leaving it in fractions. Everything's just going to be in fractions now. Cut off the fractions. Your other alternative to, like, some people don't like to do all that diagonally canceling stuff. You just could multiply straight across, which would have been 15 times 2 is 30, and 8 times 3 is 24. And then you would have to reduce that by dividing them both by 6. So if you divide these by 6 and this by 6, you end up with the exact same answer. So it's kind of up to you about the fraction part. I taught you how to do it on the little TI, if that's the calculator that you bought. So your calculator does it all for you. And I've done it longhand out the most efficient way. And I've done it longhand out a more basic way. But you still got to get negative 5/4 as your cutoff.
Okay, so the graph at negative 5/4 would have a, let's see, parenthesis or bracket? Yeah, parenthesis, my variable's on the left, so I'm going to go, so the arrow's pointing the way I shade. So it looks like this. And you got it. Negative 5/4. Interval notation should be parenthesis, negative 5/4, close parenthesis, out to the right to positive infinity. That's how you represent all the true numbers. If I put any number inside this interval, into that original inequality for P, the resulting thing would be true. If I put any of these numbers in, it would be false. And you found the cutoff that separates the truth from the false. That's the whole goal. Okay, so here we have another one that involves fractions. So, this one is more aptly probably done with the LCD. There's more than one way to do it. You could certainly subtract 3/4 from both sides and divide by negative 1. That would work. Or you can clear out the fractions. I don't. Which one do you think is easier? I don't know what they want you to do.
I would subtract
3/4 from both sides?
Yeah.
It kind of seems to me the easiest way to do it would be to subtract 3/4. So, those of you that have your little TI, your fraction one, practice that for a minute. Just now that I see a lot more people with it, I'm just showing you how to do it once again. It involves your ABC key, which is that ABC key right there. And so you would enter 7 ABC tenths. So that's you entering 7 tenths. And then minus. And then 3 ABC fourths, and then hit equals, and it says negative 1/20. So with your fraction key, does everybody agree they got negative 1/20? Can you, Rachel, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just trying to read it.
Yeah, it's hard to read, but it looks like that on this calculator.
I have a different one. I'm this one.
Yeah. Are you getting negative 1/20?
I don't know how to put it in. I don't have an ABC key. Oh, wait, I do.
You probably just have, that one might just have like a fraction bar that looks like this with two blanks like this.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Sometimes you have that key. So now that we're a week into class, and now that I see most of you have your calculator, now is when you need to make sure you know how to do the basic features. Most of you I see with the TI, so that's looking pretty good. So down is going to come negative x is greater than or equal to negative 1/20. If your calculator is different, see me or Dave after class, and we'll show you how to input the fraction stuff on yours. Because even the TI-83, you can do all this fraction stuff if you want to. All right, are we done? Is negative x correct on the left? No, positive x, positive 1x is correct. So dividing by negative 1 and then flipping the sign because I'm dividing by a negative number. I don't want to give all the wrong answers. Okay, so x is less than or equal to negative 1/20 divided by negative 1 just flips it to positive 1/20. So when you divide something by negative 1, it just flips its sign. If it was negative, it now goes positive. If it was positive, it would go negative. Another weird cutoff value. The cutoff value could certainly be a fraction. That's no big deal. On the number line, you just graph 1/20. Like that. The cutoff value is 1/20. Leave it as the fraction. Don't go decimal on anything in this set. It's a bracket. And it shades to the left. Because these are all the less thans are to the left. See if you can get the interval notation. So parenthesis, negative infinity, comma, 1/20. With a bracket should be how you do it. So even though the interval's on the top, I go inequality graph than interval because I think it's easier for you to see the picture. We'll come back into that word problem in a second. I want to take a look at how do you solve a compound inequality. There's an easy one, then there's a harder one. So compound inequalities have two inequality symbols in it. Remember they graph, if you look at your first page of notes, they end up being that line segment. So flipping back to the front for a minute, we had this, and I said, hey, that's a compound inequality right there because it's got two inequality symbols. And it graphs to be sort of a line segment because it's got a left cutoff right here, and it's got a right cutoff right there with an X with a 1 in front of it in the middle. Well, now we have a fancy version of it. We've sort of got two inequalities, and we got an x, but we don't have it by itself in the middle.
So we're going to figure out how you take it from right here and move it to the one on the front page. So I would like when you look at this to see sort of a left side, a middle, and a right side. Whatever you do to one, you must do to all three. So it's not like an equation that's got two sides. It's got three charts, left, middle, right. It's the middle that's going to drive what we do because we want to get that X by itself. So what does your gut say to do? How do you get rid of that minus one?
Add one.
So add one to all three parts. So plus one, plus one, plus one. So negative 7 plus 1 is negative 6 is less than 3x is less than 12. We're not done yet, but we're closer, agreed? We're closer. We don't want 3x in the middle. We want 1x in the middle. So what are your thoughts on how to get rid of that 3? Divide all three parts by 3. So divide by 3, divide by 3, divide by 3. Negative 6 divided by 3 is negative 2. These 3's cancel, so down comes the x. The less than comes down, and 12 divided by 3 is 4. Did we do it? Did we get it to look like the one at the front? Yes. So we now have the left cutoff value, the right cutoff value, and we'll get it on the number line correctly, keeping in mind it's going to be like a line segment. It's going to have a left cutoff and a right cutoff. Are they going to be parentheses, though, or brackets? They're both parentheses in this one. They're both parentheses. So on your number line, you want to, I do the left one first, so negative 2 with a parenthesis. And then I do the right one second, so 4. And the parenthesis is going to go inward like that because we're going to sandwich all the, like, the line segment in between it. And then you shade all the numbers in between. So these are the true. All those numbers solve that initial inequality. They would make it true. And anybody outside would be false. It wouldn't solve that if I plugged in. So for instance, just to show you, if I pick a number in between like 0, and I plug 0 in right here, 3 times 0 is 0, and 0 minus 1 is negative 1. Is negative 1 in between negative 7 and 11? On a number, it's negative 1 and you get it's true. That's right, both of them. So 0 just being one representative point of all of the points in between here. If I pick a number to the right of 4, like 10, 3 times 10 is 30. 30 minus 1 is 29. Well, 29 is not even less than 11, so it's a false. It doesn't satisfy both of them. So you're kind of honing in on all the correct numbers when you solve inequality correctly. So that was the easy one, because adding 1 and dividing by 3 is not necessarily that complicated, so there's your easy version of it. This is your little bit trickier version of it down here, of which I doubt we'll ever really see one this complicated, but do you have the skills to solve this? I don't know yet, but do you know what your goal is? What are you trying to get in the middle? Just X. Currently, there's kind of a bunch of stuff messing us up, and everybody's a fraction. So maybe, just maybe, we could clear out the fractions. That might be an option. In order to clear out the fractions, you need to know what the LCD is. So what is it between 2, 5, and 2? 10. Right? I'm allowed to multiply all three parts by 10 if I want to. So when I do that, it's going to look like this. I don't have enough room. I'm just going to rewrite it a little bit so I have a little bit more room. So when you multiply the entire thing by 10, does the 10 sit in the numerator, the denominator, or both? When you multiply this guy by 10, and this guy by 10, and this guy by 10, where does the 10 go? Up top. Not top and bottom, up top. Because really it's 10 over 1, so there's a 1 down below. So there's that guy's 10. This one's a little tricky because just what we learned when you walked into class today, because this has more than one part, I need to put parentheses around it and put the 10 out in front like that. Because the numerator has two terms, I'm now putting parentheses around it. And then over here, we get a 10. So let's see if it works. Did we clear out some fractions in this process? So negative 1 times 10 is negative 10 divided by 2 is negative 5. So I'll say that again. Negative 1 times 10 is negative 10 divided by 2 is negative 5. Did it get rid of that fraction? Yeah, it did on that pretty nicely. Less than or equal to comes down. What are we going to do with this guy right here? Well, I put the 10 there because 10 divided by 5 is 2. So 5 goes into 10 twice. So that 2 is going to come down. And then open parenthesis 3 minus x comes down. So that's how the middle term simplifies, by simplifying those right there. This number will always go into that number because we picked it in order for that to happen. Because that's the power of the LCD. Everybody's going to go into it. The LCD means everybody's number goes into it evenly. That's why we picked it. And then what about on the right-hand side? 10 times 1 is 10 divided by 2 is 5. Perfect. So this could have been the original one that you were given. Right here. Like just starting at this step. But it added that layer of difficulty clearing out the fractions. Now what are we going to do? Now what would you do? Well, we're gonna distribute it first. So she went ahead and distributed the two. So negative 5 is less than or equal to, let's see, 2 times 3 is 6. 2 times negative x is negative 2x is less than 5. So that got us to there. That could have been the original problem you were given. Right? We're just making something equivalent, equivalent, equivalent. And at any point, you could have been given the problem, but this is a hard one because it started pretty far away from the answer. Now we're ready to subtract 6 from all three parts. When you subtract 6, do I flip the sign when you subtract or no? No, not when you subtract. So negative 5 minus 6 is negative 11. The negative 2x is still sitting there. And negative 5 minus 6 is negative 1. So now we're sitting right there. Okay, it appears like we have one last step to get that x by itself in the middle. What is it going to be? Divide by negative 2, all three parts. But now some alarm should go off. Because now I am dividing the inequality by a negative number. So guess how many signs have to flip? Both. So this one needs to flip, and this one needs to flip, because you're dividing by a negative number. So when you divide by a negative number, that less than now becomes a greater than, and that less than also becomes a greater than. So don't forget that part, because you're dividing by a negative number. Negative 11 divided by negative 2 is positive 11 halves, and we're just going to leave it as that fraction. The x in the middle is cool, because negative 2 over negative 2 is 1. Negative 1 divided by negative 2 is positive 1 half, and we're going to leave it in fraction format like that. So now we're doing pretty good. Almost. Yes, sir. I did a pretty common mistake that she just called me on. The original problem had a less than right here at the top, and I did it there, and I did it there, and I did it there, and then when I flipped it, I didn't do it. That's all of a sudden wrong. So I'm going to put it in, thank you very much, and I'm going to put it in right there, thank you very much. You get the gold star for the day. Okay. So, we got it. Now we got to figure out what's going on with it. So, if you look back at our inequality on the front page, our compound inequality, do you see how the arrows like went that way? It was less than or equal to, like that. But these are kind of the reverse. Once again, we want to sort of twirl the whole thing around. This is really the smaller number. It's hard for y'all to see it. 1 half, which is smaller than 11 halves. We want always a smaller number on the left. So I'm going to twirl this. So it now says 1 half is less than x, is less than or equal to 11 halves. So that I don't make a pretty bad mistake, which is drawing a number line with the bigger number on the left. But I think it's hard for you to see because of fractions. So in a thought bubble for a second over here, what if it had said this? 7 is greater than or equal to x is greater than 1. Do you see how the bigger number is on the right? And so if you're going to graph it on a number line, you don't want to put 7 on the left and 1 on the right. That's just goofy because the number line has to be the way a number line goes.
So this keeps it all in line if you have it like this. Now the smaller numbers on the left, so 1 half. The bigger numbers on the right, 11 halves. One gets a parenthesis and one gets a bracket. So the 1 half gets a parenthesis. The 11 halves gets the bracket. You can't turn in an answer like this. I'm just making it up. But you can't turn in a number line that you've drawn where you have something like 7 over here and 1 over here. Because a number line doesn't go that way, right? It has to be numerically from the smaller number on the left. If that makes sense to you, or you chuckle, like, who would ever do that? Happy you would do that. We will end up with that consistently. It's like, wait, that doesn't even make sense because your number line doesn't even make sense. So the smaller number always has to be on the left of you. So sometimes you have to twirl the thing around so that you make it that way. That was the hardest case you could ever see. It had everything involved. It had clearing of fractions. It had divided by a negative. It had flipping signs. And it had a final answer that was kind of out of order that you had to twirl. That's your worst case sort of scenario. Okay, we got one last problem. Let's take a look at that word problem. So, Patricia's been offered a job. Company offered her $48,000 per year plus 3.5%. Oh, she's working on commission. So she gets a base salary plus she gets some commission for what she sells. Set up and solve an inequality to determine what total sales she will need to have in order to make at least $62,000. All right, so some people work on commission. If you ever worked on commission, some people just get straight commission, so you make no money unless you sell something. And some people get a base salary plus some commission. So you have to know how to set that part up. So we'll set up our variable. I'm not going to use S for sales because it looks like a 5 for me. So X is going to equal her total sales. We want to know how much stuff she has to sell in order to make the amount of money that she wants to make. Okay. So she gets a base salary. So it's base salary plus commission are the two different parts that make up how much money she brings home. So base salary is $48,000, so she gets that no matter what. What are we going to do with that 3.5%? Are we going to put it down in our formula as a percent, or are we going to, we're going to change it to a decimal. So how do you change 3.5% to a decimal? Move it left two. So 0.035. But she makes that for all every dollar that she sells. So that's the one that gets attached to the total sales because she's getting commission on how much she sells. Just like tax was based on how much you put on the table and markup, the percent doesn't hang alone. It always hangs attached to something. It gets multiplied times something. So that's kind of how much money she's going to bring home. The tricky part about this is this part that says at least. So that translates to be an inequality symbol. If she wants to make at least $62,000, is it going to translate to be a greater than or a less than? Does she want to make 62 or more or less than 62 up to 62? 62 or more. So she wants to make greater than or equal to $62,000. So at least is greater than, at most is less than. So just make a little note over here. At most. We don't have one that has that. But those are the key words that say it's an inequality. Instead of an equal to sign. If the wording in your problem is like at most or at least, those are inequality type symbols. All right, so now how are we going to solve this? How do we figure out the sales? What are you going to do? Yeah, subtract 48,000. So that's 14,000, so 0.035x is greater than or equal to 14,000. Now what? Divide by 0.035. Did you get 400? 14,000. divided by 0.035.
Oh.
4. 400,000. I don't know what she's selling. But she's got to sell $400,000 or $400,000 worth of sales to get the salary that she wants. So your answer is going to have a dollar symbol in front of it because it's total sales. So if she, yeah, if she's selling medical equipment, she'd be there in no problem, right, because expensive stuff. If she's selling makeup, it'd take forever to get there or whatever. So it just depends on what she's selling, right? But that's an inequality equation. So solving inequalities is very much like solving equations. Translating at most or at least to be the symbol is kind of what you're looking for. I think you might have a word problem to do. So let's take a look at what your homework is. So you have some to do that are probably just going to be graphing and interval notation. And then you have some ones to solve where you're, it's two pages. So there's one, two, there's a compounding guy, there's some writing and interval notation. Oh, crap. Okay, so they use, this instructor who made this, use the open dot, the closed dot. An open dot's a parenthesis, and a closed dot is a bracket. So make a note of that. The open dot is like the parenthesis, and the closed dot is a bracket. I didn't teach you that today.
Yeah, the parentheses and brackets are better.
Yeah, they're better because they just lead right to interval notation. You don't even have to think about the interval because it's easy. This one you have to think about a little bit more. So just hopefully that's not too confusing for you. So you're going to work on that today. Prepare for a quiz on that tomorrow, as well as solving for a letter and the geometry stuff. What does complementary mean? The angles are complementary. Add up to 90. What does supplementary mean? Add up to 180. What do the angles of a triangle add up to? Also 180. What's the formula for the area of a rectangle? Length times width. Those are, what's the formula for the area of a triangle? 1/2 base times height. Those are all the formulas that you might need. Way back from last week, what's the formula for interest? Simple interest. I equals PRT. Good. Those are all the couple formulas that should be in your memory, like for what we're doing this week. Okay? Excellent work. I'm excited how to see you doing that quiz tomorrow. It shouldn't be so pressed for time because I've shortened it and you have 20 extra minutes. Closed circle is a bracket, meaning it's inclusive. Open circle is a parenthesis, and it almost looks like half a parenthesis. That's how you can remember. An open circle, like, looks like a parenthesis. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. I'm going to answer a
question. So if you like 1/2 plus 1/3, and it looks correct, right?
Yes. But when you can enter it, right? And you look at that, so it's a math.
Okay.
Now to let that be the goal. Remember that?
In high school now, it'll be like 2/7.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else at TI need help?
No.
Selfies in my account. Like when it's 400,000, they're both fine. Because like if you're working at a clothing store down the mall, right, and you're based on commission, right, and so you're getting 5% pay, right, and I put down, yeah, it's $4,000 worth of sales. You make the commission based off of the sales is a money thing. How much money she brought in?
If she has to sell that much dollars worth of
money. Yeah.
not that much broad, like you don't even know what the product is. Your commission is based on the amount of clothing I put down on here. Like, not five shirts, but $500 worth of shirts. You get 5% of the $500 worth of shirts, not 5% of the three shirts. It's the money of amount of it, not the quantity of them.
Okay.
Okay. So it is $400,000.
I think
we're done. Yeah. Everyone just... Oh. Patiently waiting. That was very polite of y'all. Thank you. If anybody has a Kaiser question, we're hanging out right now.